Good morning. It is a real pleasure to be back here at the Hialeah Gospel Chapel, and a real joy to see each and every one of you this morning. I've been here a number of times in the past, and then after I leave, I keep my visits in good remembrance, because whenever I'm here, my soul is always blessed and refreshed by the love and fellowship and hospitality, and of course the appreciation that you all have for the Word of God. So it's good to be back. Now this morning, I'd like to speak on something that I trust will be a real blessing to your soul. I'm going to speak about heaven and how to get there. You know, the best way to spell heaven is H-O-M-E, home. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thus become Christians, we immediately have a heavenly home. We immediately are destined for the Father's house, and thus we become pilgrims in this world, just passing through on our journey toward heaven. And some arrive there before others, and who knows, some who are here this morning, including myself, we don't know that we might arrive there this year. But the important thing is to be 100% sure that we're going there. Now, I think it's real good to get our minds occupied with this subject, to turn away from the world once in a while with all its strife and turmoil and trouble, to get our mind off the afflictions and adversities that we have, the troubles and trials, and just think about heaven. Someone has said that some people, some Christians, are so heavenly minded they're of no earthly use. But you know, I don't believe that statement. I believe that if we are occupied with heaven, that we are going to know contentment of soul, that we're going to be a blessing to others, and that it is something that is pleasing to our God. And we will be of earthly use when we're heavenly occupied. Now, just before we turn to the scripture, let me state that some time ago, I read of a Gallup poll in which the American people were asked if they believed there was a heaven. And the results of that poll were perhaps rather startling to some people, because it brought out that 97% of the American people believed there was a heaven. That doesn't mean that all believed they were going there. In fact, you'll find out that less than 10% of the American people can say they are sure of going to heaven. And by the way, you can be 100% sure. Just as truly as Christ came into the world and died on Calvary's cross for our sins, paid our debt, settled our account, finished that redemptive work, and just as surely as there is a God who cannot lie, we can be 100% sure of heaven. It's not being presumptuous. It's simply taking God at His word. Most people say, I hope so, or I think so, but if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and take God at His word, His promise, we can say, I know so. Now, can you all hear me? Is there anyone here who can't hear me? I can raise the volume of my voice if you wish. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 14, and we'll read a few verses there and then a few in the book of Revelation. And by the way, it should not surprise us that so many people believe there is a heaven. You go around the world and even study the different religions of people, you will find out that even they believe there is a heaven. Non-Christian religions, for example, the Indians, the American Indians spoke about the happy hunting ground that they would go to. The Hindus speak of the land of the blessed, and the Japanese, the plain of high heaven, and the Muslims speak of life in paradise. Thank you, Scott. In fact, the Muslim people describe heaven as a place where saints recline on green couches with green cushions and green carpets. They have green silk robes, golden bracelets. They have fruit and flasks of wine and wide-eyed maidens to wait upon them. That's a rather fantastic conception of heaven. But my point is that the different peoples of the world believe there is a heaven or a hereafter. Why? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. God has put eternity in the hearts of men. Now, John chapter 14. Not only has God put eternity in the hearts of men, but he has given us this revelation, the Bible, which tells us something about heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1. And by the way, these are troubled times, and there are many troubled hearts. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And let me just inject this thought. When you love someone, you love to be near that person. And the Lord loves the church. He loves Christians. He loves true believers. And he wants us to be with himself. And he says, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And now turning to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. That's right near the end of the Bible, the next to the last chapter. And there in verse 4, we read these words. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 27 of the same chapter, the last verse. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And finally in chapter 22, verses 3, 4, and 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, the little outline I would like to use goes like this. Where, what, when, who, why, and how. In other words, first of all, where is heaven? Secondly, what is it like there? Third, when will it end? Fourth, who will be there? Five, why can we be there? And finally, how do we get there? First of all, where is heaven? Well, as far as the longitude and latitude in this universe, I do not know. In fact, the scripture does not tell us where heaven is, even though it teaches, the Bible teaches that it's a condition or state as well as a place. At the same time, Scripture indicates that heaven is up and that it may not be very far away. In other words, it could only be a step or a heartbeat away for any one of us who are true Christians. As we indicated this year, some of us may arrive there. Now, Scripture indicates that heaven is up above and beyond the stars, very far away. I am reminded of a Russian cosmonaut who went out into space a number of years ago, and he came back and boldly asserted that he saw no heaven, that he saw no God. Therefore, on the basis of that, we are not to believe in them. The poor man, not long after that, he took a much longer journey. He died, and now he knows better. But God has put heaven beyond the sight and reach of mortal man, and somewhere there is a heaven, the very throne of God, the very presence of God. I am still writing a newspaper column, and some time ago I dealt with this question. People say that we have our heaven on earth and our hell here on earth. What do you think about that? Well, I agreed. That is to a certain degree. Those who are sinners, they sometimes have misery, which is but an earnest of the eternal misery they're going to have if they die in their sins. And I believe God speaks to people through the tremendous problems and misery and trouble that they have. Tells them, as it were, they're going to have a lot more if they don't get saved. And at the same time, we who are Christians, we can have a foretaste of heaven. Even as Fanny Crosby wrote those words, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." In other words, we can know the presence and the blessing of the Lord Jesus here on earth, and that's a foretaste of glory divine. Now, our next point. What is it going to be like in heaven? Well, the Bible, that doesn't tell us exactly where heaven is, gives us very little detail as to what it is like. And perhaps one reason for that is that our finite minds could not or cannot grasp it. To try to illustrate, supposing you went down to Brazil, to the Amazon jungles, and there you found some natives, and all they have in their lives is a hut to live in, a fire, a river, fish, snakes, monkeys, dogs, things like that. And then you tried to tell them about life in America, with its amazing transportation system. Try to tell them about its communications, the telephone and television. Try to tell them about the computers and the copiers and so forth, and the amazing technology that we have in our land. They would not be able to grasp it. They just couldn't take it in, what life was like in America. And so I believe in the same way, we who have finite minds can't take in the infinite beauty and wonders of heaven above. But at the same time, though Scripture may not say a great deal in a positive sense about the details in heaven, we do have something negative. We learn in the Bible what won't be there. Those things that are going to be in the infernal realm are not going to be in heaven, and those things that mar this temporal scene are not going to be in heaven. For example, there'll be no sinners in heaven. They're going to be without. There's going to be no sin. It'll never raise its ugly head in heaven. There's going to be no rebellion. One will never start there. No enemy shall ever invade. No defilement shall ever creep in. No filth will ever be found in heaven. No evil will creep in. You know, shortly after I was saved, I used to think about heaven, and the thought came to me one day, what if after 10,000 years in that bright and blessed place, I sinned and got evicted? Well, I thought that through and came to the conclusion that that would be absolutely impossible, because the Scripture teaches that we're not only going to be with the Lord Jesus, but we're going to be like Him. That is, we're going to have His moral and spiritual likeness, and it'll be impossible for us to ever sin in heaven. It'll never be there. In fact, we're going to be perfect. Well, we're already perfect as to our standing. And then the Scripture not only teaches positional perfection, but it teaches progressive perfection. We should seek to become more and more like the Lord Jesus here on earth. And then, praise God, someday there's going to be ultimate perfection. We'll never sin. We'll never grieve the Lord in that blessed place. And as we read, there's going to be no night there, no curse there, no thirst there. There's going to be no tears. God's going to wipe them all away. There's going to be no death that will be swallowed up in victory. No sorrow. Not one sad countenance in heaven. There's going to be no crying, no cause to weep, and there's going to be no pain. We're never going to develop a headache or a toothache in heaven. There's going to be no sickness. There's never going to be an automobile accident or any other kind. There's going to be no lame, no deaf, no blind. There's going to be no hospitals, no doctors, no nurses. Well, I should clarify that. There's going to be doctors and nurses in heaven, those who are saved by the grace of God, but their services will not be required. There's going to be no crime, no thieves, no robbers, no murderers. There's going to be no locks on the doors and windows. There's going to be no policemen, no undertakers, no clothes of mourning. There's going to be no war, no bloodshed. There's going to be no taxes, no poverty. It's never going to be too hot or too cold. No one will ever rub you the wrong way in heaven. There's going to be no weariness. There's going to be no loneliness. Nothing will ever spoil or decay in heaven. Birds will never hush their sweet singing, and flowers will never lose their fragrance. Well, I threw that last statement in there for you to think about. Are there going to be birds in heaven? Are there going to be flowers there? Well, we do know it's going to be a place of indescribable wonder and beauty and blessedness, a place where every one who dwells there is going to be filled with unspeakable joy and indescribable peace. It's going to be wonderful. But you know, I often think of heaven as something like going to meeting with Christians here on earth, except that it's going to be 10,000 times better up there. What do we do when we come together to a meeting? We worship. And one meeting that is especially characterized by worship is the remembrance of the Lord. We come together and we survey that wondrous cross. We gaze upon the dying of the Son of God. We feel that Calvary love in our hearts, and our hearts well up in worship to our great God. Well, up in heaven, faith is going to give way to sight. We'll no longer be gathered about sacred emblems, but be gathered about that one with the nail-pierced hands, and we'll worship and we'll adore. And by the way, heaven is going to be complete satisfaction. The psalmist said, "When I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied." Here on earth, we know contentment as Christians. We know a measure of satisfaction. But up there, it's going to be complete satisfaction. It's where we're going to fully enjoy and glorify God. And I believe that every one of us is going to have our vessel full, as it were. But some are going to have greater vessels or a greater capacity to enjoy and glorify God forever. That's something to think about, is it not? In other words, men like Paul and Peter and John, they're going to have a greater capacity to enjoy God because of their faithful, devoted service. And that's what we should go for here on earth. We should seek to know our God. We should seek to be faithful and devoted to Him, because the reward in heaven might well be the greater capacity to enjoy Him. Anyway, there's going to be worship in heaven, and there's going to be fellowship. Fellowship speaks of holding things in common, loving and sharing. But you know, here on earth, fellowship with Christians is sometimes marred by friction and misunderstanding. But that won't be so up there. Someone, in fact, has written these words: "To dwell with saints above, oh, that will be glory. To live with saints here on earth, that's a different story." Well, sometimes we have our problems, but up there, our fellowship is going to be 10,000 times sweeter and better. It's going to be perfect, fantastic fellowship. And then another thing in heaven, I believe there's going to be learning. We're going to learn something of the wonders of God's creation. And we're going to go on learning about the wonders of His redemption. And perhaps then, too, we'll learn something of the inexplicable things that happen to us here on earth. why some saints had such severe trials, why some such tragedies took place. Up in heaven, I believe we'll find answers. And then another thing in heaven, there's going to be service. For we read there in Revelation 22, His servants shall serve Him. If He asked us to go anywhere in the universe, we'll be so glad to do it. But you know, beloved, now is the time when the world is at enmity with God and against the Christian and against the Savior. Now is the time to identify with that blessed one who was despised and rejected and seek to serve Him. And then finally in heaven, there's going to be singing. Have you ever heard a 100-voice choir sing the Hallelujah chorus? Have you ever heard a 1,000-voice choir sing unto the Lord His praises? That's something that'll bless the heart. Well, beloved, up in heaven, the choir is going to be made up of millions and millions of saints. And we're going to sing in perfect harmony. We're not going to have any rasping voices or anyone out of tune. And we're going to sing heaven's national anthem. We're going to sing unto Him that loved us and loosed us from our sins. We're going to sing, "Worthy, the worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And we're going to make this whole universe re-echo His praises. Do you like to sing? Do you like to hear singing? Well, just wait till you get to heaven. It's going to be glorious. Now our next point. When will it end? And the answer is never. We'll never grow old in heaven. We'll never die in heaven. We'll never age up there. We'll never develop wrinkles or gray hair. We're going to have perfect, immortal bodies. Heaven is going to be a place of immortality, and it'll go on forever and ever and ever and ever, if your mind can grasp that. Then our next point, who is going to be there? Well, the Lord Himself will be there, and all the holy angels, and all the saints of all the ages are going to be there. Noah is going to be there, and Abraham, and Moses, and David, and Elijah, and Isaiah, and David, and Paul, and Peter, and John, and Hannah, and Mary, and then all the saints down to the church age are going to be there. Dwight L. Moody, and Fanny Crosby, and then all who have trusted in the Lord are going to be there, even those who have died and gone on. They're going to be there, and we're going to see them again. You know, sometimes here on earth, I don't see a Christian for several years, someone that is very dear, someone that is loved in the Lord. And then when I see that one, I just feel like throwing my arms around that person. And I believe when we get to heaven and see those saints who've gone on before, we're going to have a great day of reunion. We're going to, as it were, throw our arms about them. And if there are any tears in heaven, they will be tears of joy. So who's going to be there? Well, you can think of many loved ones who've gone on before and many saints that you know today. We're all going to be there. But the important question is, are you going to be there? Will you be in heaven? Are you 100% sure? Do you have any doubt? The alternative, as you well know, is hell. I remember many, many years ago speaking on heaven at that place called Spanish Wells over in the Bahamas. And afterwards, some of the brethren gathered outside the auditorium. And one of them looked up and said, "Oh my, what will it be like to be there?" And it was silent for a moment. And then another one spoke up and said, "Yes. And what will it be like not to be there?" How sad to think of the multitudes, the millions who are going to hell. And God is not willing that any should perish. And that brings us to our next point, why we can be there. God was not willing that any should perish, and He sent His only Son, His beloved Son, into the world, as we've all been reminded this past Christmas season. And you know, it cost God to give His Son. I remember 2 years ago at this time, I had a son in the Marine Corps, and he had volunteered to go to Lebanon when they asked for volunteers after that tremendous tragedy of hundreds of Marines being killed in an explosion. And I took him back up to Camp Lejeune. And it was so sad to see him walk from the car to his barracks. Sad because I realized that something might happen over there and I might never see David again. And then I thought of the many fathers who've seen their sons march off to war, and the many fathers and mothers who received the message, "We regret to inform you that your son killed in action or died of wounds." And then I thought of God the Father, how He gave His Son, well knowing that men would spit upon Him and that men would scourge Him and mock Him with a crown of thorns and nail Him to a Roman cross. God well knew that when He was on that cross that our sins would be laid upon Him and that He would have to forsake His Son. And yet God loved us so much, He gave His Son. And that's why we can be in heaven, because God has made propitiation for our sins through the blood of His Son. That is why we can be in heaven, because the Lord Jesus willingly went to that cross, loved us, and gave Himself for us. Now, how do we get there? What terms has God laid out? By the way, I asked this question at a Bible camp. I believe it was last summer up in Wisconsin. I said, "How do we get to heaven?" to this group of boys. And one boy put up his hand. He had the answer. You die. Well, if you're a believer, that's the way to heaven. That's the entrance to heaven. But before you die, you've got to be sure that you're ready. Heaven, as someone as well said, is a prepared place for a prepared people. Now, how do we get to heaven? Well, thank God He's made the term simple and plain. We don't have to solve some mystery. We don't have to put a puzzle together. We don't have to understand all about the Bible. We don't have to be real religious every day of our lives. In fact, beloved, to get to heaven, you don't have to even bat an eyelash. You don't have to even raise a little finger. We get to heaven by the grace of God. But what is our part? We repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was speaking on John 3:16 a few weeks ago, and we got to that great simplicity whosoever believeth. Whosoever, and by the way, whosoever, what does that mean? I liked what a little boy once said. Well, sir, it sort of means everybody else and me. God includes you when he says whosoever, but he says believeth, and that's the simplicity. And in the gospel, according to John, you do not find the word repent or repenteth. And that has been a mystery. Isn't repentance necessary? Yes, indeed. But what is repentance? It's agreeing with God. It's ultimate honesty that we are exactly what God says we are, lost, guilty, helpless sinners. Repentance is a change of mind. We are going that way toward hell. We think, oh, we're not so bad. And even if we are, we can always do something to please God. But God says we're lost. We're guilty. We're helpless. We can do nothing to save ourselves. And when we believe God, when we agree with Him, that is repentance. We turn about. And then it's a simple thing to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, you'll never get to heaven unless you first see that you're going to hell. You'll never be saved unless you first see that you're lost. But when you see yourself lost, an object of God's wrath, then it's not a difficult thing to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus, and be saved and have everlasting life and the assurance of going to heaven. Let me close by illustrating it in this way. Several years ago, I had some surgery on my face. And after I removed the bandage, a friend of mine looked and he says, "Well, that doctor didn't mess up your good looks." Well, I said, "Thank you. But did you know that I'm going to get to heaven because of my good looks?" And he stared at me again for a while, and then he said, "No way." Well, I said, "Well, I am getting to heaven because of my good looks. First of all, I took a good look at myself. In the light of the Scriptures, I saw a lost, guilty sinner. Then I took a good look at the cross, and I saw the Savior dying for my sins. And then I took a good look in the Bible, and I saw that if I put my faith and trust in Him, I'd go to heaven." And he said, "I see what you mean. In fact, people can only get to heaven by their good looks." And my friend, if you're not sure this morning, not 100% sure, look at yourself as God sees you. Then look to the cross and see Jesus dying for your sins. Then look in the Bible and see that God says if you put your trust in Him, you'll be there. I wonder if we could sing in closing. There's a land that is sweeter. I don't have the number picked out. There's a land. 425. Thank you very much. We'll sing a couple of verses and close in prayer. But I say again, if you're not sure of heaven, make sure today. And if you need help, I'd be glad to help you. The first and last verses of 425. There's a land that is favored indeed, and by faith we can set the fire, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweat,
by and by. We shall make beautiful shore in the sway by and by. We shall be on that beautiful shore. Verse 3. To our bountiful Father above, we'll offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweat by and by. We shall make on that beautiful shore in the sweat by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Shall we pray? Our God, we thank Thee for these wonderful truths. We thank Thee that there's not only a hell to shun, but a heaven to gain. And we thank Thee that through simple, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus, we can be in heaven. We can meet on that beautiful shore. Our God, we pray that day by day we as Christians might think of our heavenly home, and that we might entreat others to join our happy band, that we might tell them of the Savior mighty to save. Bless us to this end. And our God, we pray for any who are here this morning who are not sure of heaven. Speak to their hearts. May they trust the Savior this day, we pray. Part us now with Thy blessing, and again we commit the sick and afflicted to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.